Good to be back in camp meeting. I can't believe it's been all these years myself. It was back when I looked young, real young, and Clifford still looked old. Ain't nothing changed there. We started out, first churches we pastored in the mountains about 4 miles apart, and we traveled everywhere together. And he was the father, and I was the son. Everywhere, that's what they thought. And he moved away, and they still call where he lived up there the old man Phillips place. So things have changed. I mentioned last night I was 70, and a little old lady came up, and her eyes squint. She didn't have no glasses on. She said, "You don't look 70. I said, "Well, try these on." She tried one. She said, "Well, maybe you do." So it wasn't Linda. I said, "Now I done told you 50% of everything I say before I preach is true, so you can figure all that." I did go to the doctor and I asked him. I said, "Doc, can you help me? Give me any encouragement about what I'm seeing?" Since I turned 70, he said, "What are you seeing?" And I said, "My hair looks white, and I look older, and I look heavier. Is there anything you can say to encourage me?" He said, "Yes, sir, I can." I said, "What is?" He said, "It looked like you got perfect vision." So that's where I'm at. Don't know about you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of James. And chapter number 4, and we'll read one verse to begin with, verse number 8. I want to preach tonight on this thought: you first. You first. There'll be those times in which God will set things up in order to deliver you in your time of desperation. In that situation. But you'll have to move first before God does what you want done. You first. Verse number 8. See if you can't see this. Draw nigh to God. That's an amazing invitation, isn't it? And he will draw nigh to you. Did you notice the order that is given there? He said, "You head in my direction. I'm going to head in your direction." Now, I understand that God is sovereign. And without him, we can do nothing. He's in the beginning and the ending of all. But there's going to be those times for God to do what you want him to do in your life. You're going to have to first do what he wants you to do. As a matter of fact, I have found it to be a principle and promise throughout the Word of God. That in those times that you have prayed and waited on God, what you didn't realize was the reason why he wasn't doing any more, he was waiting on you. And this I believe, that in the heart of everything or anything in your desperation that you're asking God and you're wanting God to do, there will be something in the middle of it that he's going to be asking you to do. You first. We find it throughout the Word of God. God is going to split the Red Sea. And he can. But Moses will have to raise the rod first. God is going to push the Jordan River back. But the priests will have to step in it first. God is going to bring down the walls of Jericho. But somebody's going to have to walk around it first. God is going to send the rain in Elijah's day. But he'll have to pray first. God, Jesus, can turn water into wine. But somebody's going to have to pour something in first before you get anything out. And Jesus has come to raise Lazarus from the dead. But somebody's going to have to push something out of the way for him to bring something out. Oh, he could do all that by himself. But he's not. Do you realize that since creation, God has never done anything but what he didn't employ one of his youngins? It's found throughout Scripture. Let me read you some, and then I'll give you three or four quick thoughts so you won't get too hot. I'm thinking about Matthew 6 and verse number 33. I'm talking about you first. The Bible said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And what'll happen? All these things shall be added unto you. But you'll have to move first. Matthew 7 verse 7. He said, "If you ask, it shall be given to you. If you will seek, ye shall find. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you." But you'll have to do it first. Matthew 11, verse 28, a verse we all know well. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But you'll have to come first. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." I'll show you some things, but you'll have to call first. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, "which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land." But you're going to have to pray and seek my face. And one that I really like, Luke chapter number 6 and verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." You say, "I'm in the shape that I need somebody to give me something." Give first. A principle and promise throughout the Word of God. Now someone would say, "Well, why would God expect me to do something first?" Because he's set up to do something for you. But for you to find out what he can do for you, you're going to have to do what he asks you to do. And there are four things that I want to say to you in this "you first." First of all, I want you to understand in this matter of "you first," it's not that God is shorthanded or he can't do it all by himself. But he wants to involve you. He wants you to experience being a part of what only God can do, so that you can witness firsthand the work of God in your lives and in the lives of others, because you were obedient to what he wanted you to do. Now you knew you couldn't do what needed to be done, but you knew that if you did what he told you to do, he would do what you could not do. You first. Now, it won't be anything you can brag about. Somebody said, Abraham, what in the world? Man, the Red Sea split. Oh, he said, wasn't he? I just raised a dead stick. Somebody said to those priests, how in the world? Man, wasn't it amazing if that water? And they said, wasn't me. I just put my foot in the water. Somebody said, how in the world did you get those walls down? They said, what, me? I just walked around them. Man, you were there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. And what, me? I just moved a stone. What he asked you to do, anybody could do. But if you'll do what he particularly wants you to do, honey, you won't be able to brag about it. You won't get proud of it. It ain't nothing compared to what he's fixing to do out of your obedience. And if you will obey and do it, thank God, you'll be able to witness what he can do. You first. Haven't there been that time and times in all of our lives we've been wrestling with God, we've been wanting God, we desperately need God, and right in the middle of it he said, well, wait a minute, here's what I want you to do. Letting you be a part of the kingdom, of the workings of the kingdoms of heaven. I don't know, but I can imagine it was spread abroad when Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he and maybe one of the persons who was there that helped push that stone away was just casually standing around, and some people were talking, and they said, did you hear about that Messiah raising? He said, are you kidding? I helped push the stone away. Woo! You ought to have been there. Got a big bandage on his hand because of blisters. He's kind of limping around. He's pulled muscles. It sometimes takes something to do what God tells you to do. But it'll be worth it. You'll witness what you could never witness. You first. Because he wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to be intertwined with his divine workings. I want to be there to see those that are in darkness brought to light and life as Lazarus was. I want to be there to see God split the waters for somebody's life. I want to be there when God rolls something right back for somebody's life. I want to be there. You first. He wants you to be a part of what he's doing. Secondly, I want to say to you in this matter of you first. He not only wants you to experience or be a part of what he's doing, he wants you to find out what's on the other side of the you first that he has asked you to do. You'll never know what's on the other side. You'll never experience what can come out of what he can do until you have obeyed and done what he wants you to do. He said, if you'll knock, just think about it. One knock, you'll not know. Oh, just one knock and you'll find out what's on the other side of that door. One step and you'll find out what God can bring down. I'm telling you, just one act of obedience can open up the whole of God's ability for your life. I want you to experience this, what he is saying. I want you to seek so you can find. I want you to ask so it can be given. I want you to give so it can be given. I want you to knock so it can be opened. I want you to come so you can find rest. I want you to call so you can get some answers. If you'll do what I tell you to do, you'll be amazed of what you will find just on the other side of you first. The only thing keeping God from doing what God wants to do is you not doing what he wants you to do. In this matter of you first, it's God wanting you to be a part of what he's doing. But it's God wanting you to experience what's beyond this matter of you first. What's in that next step? What is in that next act of obedience. Children, when God's a knocking at your heart's door, He's wanting to do something for you at the same time. He's working on both sides at the same time. But you're going to have to go draw nigh to God. And then He will draw nigh to you. What is it God's been thinking with your heart about? And He said to you, now, you want me to settle that for you? The key to it is what I want you to do. Oh, what an amazing truth. The principle and promise. God saying you first because He wants you to be a part of what He's doing, but He wants you to see what comes out of the you first. But I would say to you thirdly in this matter of you first, God is wanting you to realize what you're going to miss if you don't go first. Now, someone would say, now, if they didn't roll that stone away, would Lazarus still been resurrected? I don't know. Do you? Your guess is as good as mine. Oh, what if Abraham had said, you know, that'd be embarrassing me, raise this dead stick. It ain't going to accomplish anything around here. I'm not going to do that. Would the sea have split? I don't know. If the priest had said, you know, I've had these shoes for 40 years. I don't want to get them wet now, especially with the Jordan River running over. I don't want to put my foot down and I'm afraid of water anyhow. If they hadn't put their feet in the water, would the Jordan River have rolled back? And if the children of Israel said, no, I don't want to have to walk around the building for 7 days one time and seven times on the seventh day. That's just, do you know how hot it is? I'm not going over that camp meeting. They're crazy over there. It's 90 degrees. But if they hadn't walked around it, would the walls have come down? I don't know. But here's the glorious news. I don't have to guess because they did what God told them to do first, and then He did what only God can do. Have you ever had to sit around and wonder, God telling you to do something, you're not doing it, and you're saying, Lord, what am I missing in my disobedience? Pastored a little church in the mountains for 18 years. I truly thought I would live and die there. I wanted to. Last thing, look at me, folks. Last thing on earth I wanted to be is an evangelist. I thought I was going to live and die there and pastor those people. Love them, love the area, still love it to this day. One day I was preaching to them about Abraham. How by faith he left, not knowing whether he was going. Brother Larry, I was right in the middle of my sermon, man, just laying it out real good. And you ever had the Holy Ghost stop you? And here's what he said. He said, this is not for them. Now, they didn't know he said it, or maybe they did. They probably saw a little bit of daze on me. I said, what? Said, no. What I'm wanting you to do is to leave because I've got something more for your life that I want to do. I've got other places that I need for you to go. Now, I don't recommend this, but standing right there in the middle of the church preaching to those people in my heart while I was preaching to them, they didn't hear me say it, but I said, no. I don't recommend that. You talking about a miserable creature. Every time I got up and stood before them to preach, the Holy Ghost said, you're preaching to the wrong people. I've got somewhere else that I want you to be. And it got to where it just eat away at me. When I'd lay my head on a pillow at night, I'd think, oh God, what am I missing? And I'd wake up in the morning, I'd say, what is it that I am missing? Until finally it just overcome me. And I throwed up the red flag and I said, oh God, whatever it is, wherever it is, I surrender. I'll move first because I want to find out what you can do. And I'm here to tell you, I didn't want to go into evangelism. I knew I couldn't preach. I said, I thought about making a sign that said, we'll preach for food. I mean, it was a desperate, I didn't want to do this. But I'm going to tell you, for 25 years, God has let me see things and experience things that I knew was divine, and only God could do it. I'm so glad I moved first to find out God can move and what God can do. Now, I don't know that God told Moses what he's going to do when he raised the rod, but don't you know he was excited when he raised the rod? I mean, you've got Pharaoh's army on one side, you've got the Red Sea, and I've seen it, on the other side. And you got the whole children of Israel fitting to be engulfed by the enemy. No place to go. And the only command is, Moses, raise the rod. What? I'm glad they didn't vote on it at that place. And Moses, not knowing, no doubt, he's just in obedience. What's going to come out of raising a dead stick? And he raises that dead stick. And man, can you imagine the sound of all of that water splitting and moving? I'm telling you, Moses turned around. I mean, he was surprised as everybody else. And in his heart, he said, thank God I did what he told me to do. When the children of Israel put their feet down into that Jordan, the roar of it going back, they said, thank God I did what they told me to do. And when that wall got to crumbling down, all those people walking around and said, I thank God I did what they told me to do. And I'm going to tell you, when they poured that water in that vessel at that marriage feast that Jesus told them to, they were amazed at what came out of it and said, thank God I put something in so something could come out. Thank God I put something away so Lazarus could be brought to life. He wants you to find out. He wants you to know. I'm telling this matter of me first is you being able, I'm going to tell you, to work with God and what he's doing. It is you being able to see what God can do, but it is you. It is you not being miserable, realizing, I don't even know half of what God could have done with my life. I don't want to end my life wondering what could have happened. I want to experience it, don't you? I want to know at the end of the way that I was willing to do what he wanted me to do so he would do what I wanted him to do. But now, I said all that to get to this thought. And probably my shortest thought. Y'all getting hot yet? You're a fanning. This matter of you first. When God says to you, I want you to raise the rod. I want you to step in the water. I want you to put this matter of you first. Is God letting you to know that after you've moved first, that you never were first after all? That God was there all the time fixing to do what he was going to do. When you move first, you'll find out you never were first. God's always been ahead of you. I mean, when Moses raised that rod, God was there to split the water. When they put their foot down into the Jordan, God was there to push it back. When they walked around the wall, God was there to bring it down. When they moved the stone, God was, he said, come, come. And if he told you to come, that means he's there where he wants you to come. He's there working on both sides at the same time. He just wants you to move. But here's the truth of the matter. You'll never know that God is first until you move first. And then you experience the excitement of finding out he was there all the time. Now, when I was under conviction, and I'm sure when you were too, God had already set this thing up of redemption before the foundation of the world, and then sent his son and the plan of salvation, to live, die, resurrect, ascend back, and then sent the Holy Ghost to speak the gospel to your heart. He done it all. But when he showed up at your heart, he was telling you something you was going to have to do. He said, listen, I have come, I love you, I've died for you, I want to make you a part of my family. But you're going to have to call. You're going to have to accept. You're going to have to turn to me. Look, he said unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. He said, all you got to do is nothing hard to do. Just look. The simplicity of it's on your side. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be. Call upon him. But I'm going to tell you something. I was walking down a little alley about all by myself, and the Holy Ghost showed up. I'd only heard the gospel on three occasions, got in my head. Nobody else there. And the Holy Ghost showed up. The Lord Jesus came. And he took what was in my head and he brought it down to my heart. And Holy Ghost conviction got on me. So much so that I felt like if I took another step, it's like a cross out. Somebody said, well, didn't you have a choice? Yeah, but not much of one. When I'm looking into the pits of hell and the Son of God standing there telling me, come to me, I'll save you. The only thing left to do was head toward him. But at that moment, I felt like the next move was totally on me. But when I got on the other side of it, I found out that it was all him. I couldn't even have moved if he hadn't given me the ability to move. When you pray, our prayers should be more like this. Lord, before I ask you to do something, what is it you want me to do that will unlock the door to everything that you can do? It won't be much, but it'll be everything in this matter of what God's going to do for your life. Amen. You first. Amen. Say, but preacher, you don't know where I'm at. Oh, but God does. You don't know what desperation I'm in. God does. But I promise you, in the middle of it, he's not going to just come and do it all. He's going to come to you and say, I know where your son is. I know what's going on. But here's what I want you to do first. And then you'll find out what I can do. I know where you're at in your marriage. I know what's going on there. But here's what I want you to do. And then you'll find out what I can do. He may come to you and say, hey, I know you're having problems with that person, but here's your part. We're spending all our time trying to get everybody else to do something. Oh, God, would you make them do something? Would you have them do? Oh, no, that ain't the way it works. He's going to come to you and say, here's what I want you to do. It's time for you to go tell them you're sorry. It's good time for you to go tell them that you love them. It's time for you. It's time for you to give. You ever had the Holy Ghost come to you and say, I really want to bless you, but before I do, I want you to give. And you'll never know what comes out of that until you first. It's all through the Bible. Draw nigh. Are you listening to me, children? What is it you're wanting God to do? And he's waiting on you. Draw nigh to God. You first.
Amen.
Now, he's on both sides. Understand that. He's already there waiting on you. But he said, draw nigh to God.
Yes,
said, what you're going to find out is he's drawing nigh to you. Listen to me, children. This is not just for a few. It's for all our hearts. Those times, and when it seems as though the Egyptian army is on one side and the Red Sea is on the other side, of which he can come to you, and the simplicity of it is, the thing that's going to change everything is not what God does first, but what he asks you to do first. Oh boy, I'm just waiting on God to come. I'm just imagining what God's going to do. He won't do nothing until you've done what he wants you to do. That's just the way he does it. Because he wants you to be a part. Did I tell you? You first. It won't be hard. It'll be anybody. But he wants you to do it. I'm waiting on you. You first. Let me close with this. You may have to raise up something,
yes, sir,
to get through something else.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just a stick. Get it up, Moses, get it up.
Yeah.
And you can go through that. You may have to put your foot in something,
yes, sir,
to get across,
yes,
what you need to get across. They had to get across it. You may have to walk around some things in your life that need to be brought down. You may have to pour in something as they did those vessels. Oh, I'm glad Jesus is here. Man, watch what he brings out of those vessels. Nothing until you've poured something in. Oh, Jesus. Oh, she spoke to her son and said, they don't have any, they need some more wine. I mean, he said, fill the vessels. Well, why does he want me to do that? If he can turn it into wine, can't he fill it? He can, but he won't. Why does he want me to move that stone? If he can raise a dead man, can't he move? But he won't. Why does he want me to raise a rod? Can't he split the Red Sea without that? He can, but he won't. Why does he need me to put my foot in the water? There'll always be a human aspect of a divine work. And that human aspect is you. And God has made the human aspect as important as the divine. They must come together. How shall they hear except they, or how shall they believe except they hear? And how shall they hear without the human effort of someone that has said, God, I will go. I didn't want to preach. I didn't call myself to preach. You said to preach. I'm going. And out of this voice to find out what God can do. There'll always be that human element that he'll bring in. Said, Elijah, I'm going to send some rain. And I'll send more than enough, but you'll have to pray.
Yes, sir.
I want to bring you in on what I'm doing. And that's why I'm going to speak to your heart and all the issues and say, okay, I'm here. I've been here. But here's what I want you to do. And we'll get it done. But it'll be you first. Don't sit around your issues and expect that God's just going to show up and sweep through and do it all. He ain't interested in doing it all. He ain't going to raise the rod. God will not raise the rod. He will not put his foot in the water. He will not pour anything into the vessels. He will not move the stove. But thank God he'll let you do it. And then you'll experience everything that God will do. Are you hearing this? Oh, it has spoken to my heart loud and clear. Believe me. Hey, child, I know you need something desperate, is what God is saying. But I'm waiting on you first. And then, what you need can be taken care of. He's here tonight waiting on some of you. Don't expect him to do what he can do until you've done what he wants you to do. Oh, he could, but he won't. Let's stand.